Last time on Our Worlds Are in Danger.
Demolishor lamented that he didn't think leopards would eat his face.
Carlos justified his coming along on the mission by designing new colour schemes for all the minicons using a pack of crayons he got given at a restaurant.
And Optimus Prime returned to life and said to his disciples, "Peace be unto you. Behold my hands and feet hands, that it is I."
I'm Jolene.
And I'm Wads.
And I'm Daniel.
And we'd like to tell you about the Transformers.
This is Our Worlds Are in Danger, a podcast where we travel back 20 years to look at Transformers Armada and Transformers Micron Legend, the two versions of the anime that reinvented Transformers for a new generation of children.
Love that. Very, very 1950s radio announcer.
Well, you know, I have training for this kind of thing, so, and I don't get to use it in my day-to-day life, so here we are.
So who are you, and where did you get this training anyway? Introduce yourself to our audience.
Hello, audience. I assumed that Joe and Wads would introduce themselves first, but I guess, you know, y'all know them already.
People know who we are.
Hi, my name is Daniel Adkins. I am a actor who does not act, and instead spends his time writing up summaries of Transformers and non-Transformers comics for the TF Wiki. That's mostly what I do nowadays on the interwebs.
And you're doing a damn good job of it, if I do say so.
Good. I'm glad, because let me tell you, there is nothing that makes you less grateful than people. No, hold on. I won't get that salty on air.
See, I'm just remembering when you, like, it was the night before the issue was about to go out, and then your entire, like, article got completely wiped by
That happened.
Yes, the classic.
I was just going to say, I have mad respect for Chris McFeely and Loco Man, who are doing it before me, because it is not as easy as people think it is to, like, actually do that, like, well. Like, actually go through everything, provide a summary that doesn't just go beat for beat for what the comic is, but still gives you, like, a feeling like you've, you know, trying to find that balance
I spent a year or two doing comic write-ups for the IDW Hasbro Wiki, and then I tried to write up one issue of Mask and immediately stopped, because...
Well, to be fair, you were only doing that because I had written up 5 issues of Mask and couldn't do it anymore, so...
So what you're saying is that you're a stronger person than I am.
I was going to say, the fact that Mask has somehow, like, chewed through 2 wiki editors in a row, like, even that...
Hey, he's the Robotech people's problem now, okay?
God.
Anyways, like I said, I'm Daniel. I've been a long time TF Wiki contributor. Now I mostly just do that and, hang around the internet. I occasionally, when I'm feeling like it, do video essays about comic books. And in my day-to-day life, I'm a comic book retailer. Thank you. I haven't done one in quite some time, but I'm hoping to get back to it next year.
So, what was it that brought you to TF Wiki? What's your history with the Transformers, and specifically the Unicron trilogy, of which we...
I can do even better than that. I can give you the exact story of how I am on this podcast right now today.
All right.
So we go all the way back to... Transformers has basically been something that has been in my life in one way or another for as long as I can remember. My older brother is about 9 years older than me. And so because of that, I basically got, like, a lot of sort of pop culture as hand-me-downs from him. So, like, he had, like, the Generation 2 figures, and, like, Beast Wars and Beast Machines, like, all that kind of stuff when he was growing up. So that a lot of that got passed down to me. I was born 1998, just to, like, give our listeners a time frame to think. So he was, like, 89. So it's kind of just one of those things where, like, for me growing up, it's like Transformers toys were just already around. And I would, like I said, watch, like, old episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines that we had recorded on VHS. So it's just kind of always been there. And then obviously as we got older, he started, you know, kind of getting out of toys, but he was always a nerd, so he was still kind of interested in stuff, but, you know, he just wasn't buying the toys. But then by the time I was old enough to have Transformers, you know, it was then I was the one getting the toys. So, you know, we had, like, basically everything from through, like, RID, and Armada was kind of where he was starting to get out of it, and I was kind of starting to, oh, well, these are now my toys instead of his toys. So, yeah, I, you know, watched Armada as a kid, weirdly enough, I don't know why. I don't know if it was, like, just because he was getting out of it, and it was, or maybe it was just a bad year, but I, for some reason, completely missed Energon. I, like, never watched the Energon cartoon as a kid.
That's awful. You missed out on so much.
I know. toys, like, I think the only toys we had were, like, I got gifted, like, the Battle Ravage Signal Flare 2-pack. That was pretty much it. But I really became, like, more of a diehard fan once Cybertron rolled around. Cybertron was really what hooked me, and I feel like made me, like, a fan on my own. And I still to this day love Cybertron, even though it is, like, objectively speaking, probably not very good, but, you know, that's okay. Nostalgia is a hell of a drug. So yeah, and, you know, just continue to roll with that through the live-action movies, which, again, I also love. Nostalgia, hell of a drug. But it was during that period, like 2007, 2008, that I discovered YouTube toy reviews, because I was specifically seeking out, like, stuff about the next Transformers movie in, like, 2008. And I remember I came across Night/2020's stop motion series that he did. This is, like, real deep cut, like, fandom stuff. So I don't know if y'all even know who Night/20 is. Okay, it's the people who know, they know. Anyways, so that kind of led me down a rabbit hole of getting into the toy review side of YouTube. So, like, following guys like Vangelis and TJ Omega and all that.
All the greats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that that led me to discovering this little show called Kamen Rider because of Vangelis and TJ's reviews of, like, the figure arts and whatnot. And that led me down a whole other track in my life on the internet of Tokusatsu becoming, like, this primary fandom of mine and getting involved in internet reviewers who were covering Tokusatsu. This was around the same time as, like, Linkara started doing History of Power Rangers. And, of course, I was, like I said, I was a comics fan, so I was already watching him there and discovering guys like Easy Rider and his Toku Time review. Anyways, so that was sort of how I got more involved in Transformers fandom and the wider, like, internet review culture as a whole, and that kind of, but Transformers has often been my primary fandom, but it's always sort of oscillated between that and my true love, which is comic books. As both of y'all know, I am a huge comic book nerd. Have been reading them since I was, like, 10 years old. Right, this is where it dovetails with the whole Linkara thing, because I was already because I found him because I was a fan of comics. Anyways. And it was also through Vangelis and some others that I started reading the Transformers comics that IDW was producing. Because I remember they were talking about, like, I think they did a special episode on Last Stand of the Wreckers, and that was what got that book on my radar.
Good place to start.
Oh, yeah. I think it was either... Well, I don't know that I started with that. I think I actually, like, the first thing I actually read was the Mike Costa run, the first volume of that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Which, as a kid, like, it was actually really, like, really cool because, like, and here's my thing with comics. That was such an interesting place for me to start with the IDW stuff because it did sort of deal with a lot of the fallout of All Hail Megatron and the stuff that had come before then. But when you're a kid and you're reading comic books, you kind of just absorb that something has happened before and you're starting in the middle, but it's not, like, a problem. Once you reach adulthood, then that becomes a problem because your brain, like, refuses to just start in the middle. It's why everyone should get into comics when they're, like, 12, not when they're 18.
Soft and malleable.
100%. Like, absolutely.
The way I got into IDW's, like, Transformers stuff was through a Humble Bundle that had all of All Hail Megatron and pretty much, like, just volume ones of all the other series in the universe up to that point. And so I was like, yeah, I read For All Mankind, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I know what's going on here. And then you skip to, like, more than CI, like, you know, Death of Optimus Prime. And it's like, I have no idea what has happened between these stories, but I'm kind of just vibing with it, you know?
Yeah, well, and see, that's the thing, right, is, like, I wasn't really following the IDW comics super closely until, like, around Windblade was happening. I remember a lot of more people were talking about it once Windblade came about, and that's when I sort of, I backtracked, and I started picking up the trades of Phase 2, and eventually I backtracked as well to read the Phase 1 stuff, but I was basically, I was picking up those in trades until about... I want to say Combiner Wars. I basically was able to catch up in trades right as Combiner Wars started coming out. And that, which was ironically a perfect time, because that was right before they announced Revolution. And Revolution is when I went, like, full in on, okay, I love this stuff, because my boy Rom the Space Knight was gonna be part of that. And so, like... Plus, that was also around the same time that I experienced The Switch, in which was my my preferred series, because I, you know, I'd been reading More Than Meets the Eye and Dark Cybertron and R.I.D. in trades, and then, like, but right around that Soundwave and Cosmos issue, that was when I was like,
yep.
Oh, I'm liking R.I.D. way more than More Than Meets the Eye. I don't know why, but
I think that happened for quite a few people.
Yeah, that does seem to be, like, the issue where, like, I hear most people, like, have that switch, if any one issue.
I think that stretch of issues with that and the Tracks and Needle Nose issue.
Yes. That whole, like,
the little cluster of, like, standalones.
Yeah. Oh, well, and that was also was Wheeljacks? No, that was...
Yeah, Wheeljacks was the sort of start of Combiner Wars type situation,
right.
I think, right?
Right, that was right before.
You also have some, like, Punishment coming out around that time as well, which is, like, a really good John Barber miniseries, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, which I don't think I picked up Punishment when it was coming out, because I hadn't fully converted to...
See, Real Jews read Punishment as the Madefire app as a motion comic, as God intended it.
Yeah. But yeah, but Revolution was really important for me, because
it destroys your brain.
Right.
Well, just like mine.
Because here's the thing. Because, like I said, I was already a fan of Rom from the Marvel comics. So the idea of putting him in this universe, and I had, like, I was doing YouTube stuff by this point. And I had even suggested, hey, well, Rom was notable at the time because it was of its connections to the Marvel universe. So it's going to be weird for him to not have this whole universe around him. And even said, like, something along the lines of, oh, hey, maybe they could have him cross over with Transformers. And while everyone else in the world was being negative Nancy's, I was excited because I actually gave a shit about one of these other properties.
I remember, like, the moment that I switched my opinion on it from, oh, this is gonna suck, to, oh, this is gonna be great. And that's when I read that, like, it was entirely, like, John Barber and Chris Ryle just, like, shooting the shit in.
In
private messages rather than, like, Hasbro descending from on high and going, oh, you should do this. The fact that it was, like, actually driven by the creators going, hey, wouldn't this be fun? That's what made me a believer.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you could definitely, I feel like you could sense that. If you didn't go in with the sort of, you know, skeptical eye that I think most people did go into it with, it's like, I think you can sense that on the page. But the really important thing there is that because no one else was enthusiastic, it was the story that got me much more actively involved in the TF Wiki, because I was like, well, okay, I'm going to build out this ROM page. I'm going to write up an Action Man page. I'm going to do all this stuff to sort of, you know, do this work that no one else really seems interested in doing.
I'm going to make all of ROM's captions Buzz Lightyear quotes.
That was not me. I think that was Loco, but yeah, and of course that got me involved in this little, I decided to get on this little website's forums called the All Spark. oh, is it officially gone?
Well,
it's dead to me.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so I got involved with that and met these two weirdos, and it's been friendship ever since, pretty much.
I don't remember saying we're friends.
I wanted to ask, what actual Armada toys did you have as a kid?
Okay, that's the one thing I wanted to know. So as a kid, we had So weirdly enough, my brother was way more into, like, collecting the mini-cons, and he wanted, like, all the weapons and all that. So between the two of us, we had Optimus Prime, Megatron, Smokescreen, didn't have Red Alert, didn't have Hotshot, didn't have... Oh, and I got, for one Christmas, I got the Power Link's Cyclonus, which...
Okay.
Which is also made Cyclone, like, anytime I saw Cyclonus in the show, I was very confused, and, like, because why is he not green? Like, to me, that will just always be Cyclonus's colors, is that, like, solid, like, bright green, and anytime I see him in, like, his proper colors, I'm just like, what the fuck? This is not correct. Because when you're five, it's like, that's how your brain works, you know? It's like, this is what this guy looks like. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the same with Red Alert. I had the Power Link's Red Alert toy. That was mine as a kid. The one I have it more with is Jetfire, because we had the Power Link's Jetfire, and he kind of isn't in any of the early Armada marketing material either. So with Jetfire, it's purely that my image of him in my head is that sort of white and blue color scheme, and then his actual thing is, like, slightly different. It's like everything's just slightly off.
Yeah. We did have Jetfire as well. Regular Jetfire, not Power Link's. Those were pretty much all of them. And I've collected some more of the, like, other molds later on. Obviously, as y'all know, I did eventually get the Red Alert mold in the form of
Flashpoint, right?
Movie Inferno / Flashpoint, which is a great figure. And I think I eventually... Oh! And Blur! We had Blur! I loved Blur as a kid. He was great. Even though his backpack was the worst thing in the world. Like, him and Smokescreen...
He can do literally nothing but raise his arms. He is just the best.
Yeah, but to me, it was such a fun figure as, like, a kid, because he had that little, like, lever in his, like, in the shoulders that, like, raised up the arms. So it was, like, it was this little bit of engineering that I just fiddled with all the time, like, just on its own. I don't know, it just ticked something in my brain. So those are pretty much all the Armada toys we had.
I mean, that's all good stuff, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... It was weird. As kids, me and my brother, we never really collected a lot of the villains. Like, we had a lot more Optimus Primes than we did Megatrons. No reason why. I think it's... I don't know. Maybe we're just chumps who like good guys. So, I don't know. Anyways.
So, speaking of Power Link's color schemes... Should we get into our episode this week?
And speaking of chumps who like good guys.
This week, Daniel and Wads watched episode 43 of Transformers Armada, Puppet, first broadcast in Canada on September the 19th, and in the United States on November the 7th of 2003. Daniel and I watched episode 43 of Micron Legend, Nisamono, first broadcast on October the 24th of 2003. This episode was written by Ryo Motohira and directed by Masayuki Matsumoto. Though Optimus Prime has been brought back to life, the Autobots aren't yet out of trouble. An electrically charged vortex suddenly appears in the Axelon's path, and Hotshot and Red Alert are pulled in. The two find themselves awakening on a strange planet of metal and salt. Though Red Alert sends off a distress signal, the other Autobots have fallen unconscious and can't receive the message, but the Decepticons can, and Megatron, Demolisher and Starscream soon arrive on the planet. Red Alert and Hotshot attempt to investigate, but find themselves coming under attack by a monstrous creature, a dark doppelganger of Optimus Prime. They flee as the Decepticons look on, deciding that whether this entity is Optimus or not, they can use it against the Autobots. But when they try to order the shadowy creature around, it lashes out at Megatron, who is forced to use the Requiem Blaster to destroy it. With the Autobots taken out of the fight by the power of the Requiem Blaster, Megatron prepares to execute their foes, but is convinced by Starscream to take them prisoner instead. He doesn't get the chance, though. The twitching, writhing fragments of Nemesis Prime's body knit themselves together, and the creature uses a shadowy copy of the Star Saber to quickly wound and disable the other Transformers. All seems lost until a beam of light strikes Nemesis Prime from the heavens, surrounded by the floating forms of the combatants' partner Minicons. Projecting a shell of light over the Autobots and Decepticons, the Minicons heal their wounds and upgrade them with new colours before vanishing just as mysteriously as they arrived. The Axelon finally arrives on the planet, and Optimus Prime makes a dramatic landing just as the now giant Nemesis Prime bursts from the ground. With the combined power of Optimus' new Mega Weapon mode, and Megatron, now Galvatron, wielding the Requiem Blaster, the Dark Threat is finally eliminated, the illusory form of Sideways appearing for a split second as it dies. The planet begins to collapse, and in a final spiteful act, Galvatron fires on the Autobot ship, damaging its warp engine and stranding the Autobots as the Decepticons teleport themselves back to their own vessel, gleefully preparing to take Cybertron for themselves. So, Daniel, you had a very specific reason for wanting to come on this episode, didn't you? Your favorite character.
Yes, genuinely. I am not kidding. Like, I was debating how much I wanted it to be a bit, but honestly, like, guys, this is the first episode featuring the star of Armada, Overload, the best character in the world. At least the best character in the world to a, like, five-year-old child who, like, really loves big red trucks and really yeah. wants something that can hook on to Optimus Prime. So I wanted an Overload for years, and I never got, I still to this day do not have one. Eventually I will have one, and I will fill this hole that has been in my heart for the last like 18 years. But as a kid, like Overload genuinely became like, and the fact that he is like, there's nothing to him, provided me this like vehicle with which to just imagine this incredible, awesome character. He's like, he's so powerful, he's so cool, and like honestly, genuinely, I will always love Overload because of
that. I absolutely love that. I
and so that. Like when he showed up here, I was just like, yes, finally, this show is good because this guy is here and he's gonna help Optimus Prime blow shit up. Love it.
Yeah, I remember when we brought up the idea to you of coming on the show, you said that you wanted to be on either the episode where they get upgraded into their Power Links form and there's Nemesis Prime, or the one where Overload shows up for the first time.
Yep. And hey, look at me. I got everything I wanted.
See, when you said that the best character in Armada was going to show up, I was racking my brains because I was like, well, Nemesis Prime? Like, he's not really a character. He's not really a good... He's nothing, kind of. And yes, actually, you're right. Overload is also in this episode. I just forgot.
Well, and see...
How could you forget?
I just forgot.
Well, and see, the other reason that I... that the Nemesis Prime episode stuck out to me is, for some reason, that is genuinely the episode that, like, I remember best from when I was a kid. Like, I don't... And again, I guess, you know, it says something that I didn't remember which one Overload actually first showed up in. But it's, like, genuinely, this episode, like, really stuck in my brain for a long time. And I think a lot of that was on the strength of the premise. Because this is, like, this is basically, like, a horror episode. I mean, it doesn't really play it that way, but if you think about it, that's really what this episode is, because it's basically, because you get Hot Rod and Red Alert and Megatron, Starscream, and Demolisher, like, they wake up in a mysterious place where everything seems wrong, and there's just this, like, inhuman or in-Cybertronian creature that looks like Optimus Prime, but he's not. And, like the moment he, like, stretches his arm out to, like, grab Megatron, that's the moment when it's, like, what the fuck is this guy? Oh, sorry, hold on. I don't remember what is our swear policy.
Yes, we swear.
Okay, awesome.
we can say the fuck words.
Okay, what the fuck is this? And so to me, it's, like, I feel like that stuck in my brain a lot, and I remembered this episode a lot more fondly than I actually did when I was rewatching them. So, yeah.
This is an episode that you can really see, like, why it would stick in someone's brain as a child.
Yeah. But also as an adult, it does nothing for me.
Yeah. So, I guess we should back up to the start, because we open up with, like, a little recap of the end of the last episode. Optimus Prime is back!
Yay! To save
Fred
us from
is
our
the
sins.
Only one who seems to have any skepticism at all about it.
Yeah, he's like, are you one of those Mirages I've read about? I'm like, no, Mirage is a different guy.
Yeah. What was his line in the Japanese version? It was slightly...
It was like, are you a fake?
Right, yes. Which, I feel like that line worked a lot better, because then to connect to Nemesis later on, but... Yeah, no, it was very fun, because, like, for me, like, obviously I didn't do any homework or whatnot, so it's like hearing the narrator recap all this, it's just like, huh, that's cool. Welcome back, Prime. and then he's just gone for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. The opening scene on this, on like the surface of the ship, where the kids are all outside in their spacesuits for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Voltron ass looking uniforms on the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like right down to Alexis getting the girl pink.
Yep.
Which is required of all girls in space. Gotta wear pink.
It feels like strangely workmanlike, I guess. Like, there's a sense that the writers aren't really interested in, like, doing the whole reunion scene, but they feel obligated to because, yeah. Well, he's just come back to life, so I guess we've got to have something said about that.
They all do a big salute, and that's it. That's fine. They've all done pretty a big much. Salute. And then, oh no, there's a wormhole!
Yeah, in Japanese, Red Alert notes that, oh, the power of the Minicon sparks must have resonated with Optimus's desire for peace. It's like, sure,
man.
That's just science, I guess.
Well, and I do love that, like, the first thing Optimus says once he's back is, Hotshot, you brought the kids along? Like, just... And then he's like, it's fine. And I'm like, no, stay on that. Why the fuck did he do... Why are these children in deep space? Like
the dub is like... I mean, first of all, the dub translates very literally that Red Alert line. It's exactly what you said. But also, Hotshot seems to like be initially like, oh, is he going to chew me out for bringing the kids along? And then he says... the Minicons and the Autobots want you to stay safe. I would have made the same decision. That's what he says to the kids. And it's like, surely if you want them to stay safe, they should have just stayed on fucking Earth. What are you saying, man? Like
God.
Yeah. That was the really interesting thing for me, because I had never watched like a lick of Micron Legend at all until watching it for this show. And I think I sent something to the chat the other day. I was like, this is immediately better in, like, every just, like, base level. And that's, the really sad thing about looking back on Armada is, like, it's not even actually that much better. It's just, there's just a baseline, like better level of quality to, like, the voice acting and the
baseline competence.
Exactly. Like, even down to, like, just the musical choices, like, later on. It's just like, oh my god, this is just... so much better on every conceivable way. So if anyone out there is going to actually watch these shows, please just watch Micron Legend, because it is just better for your brain.
Or, better idea, don't.
Just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Do literally anything else with your life. Don't be like us.
Yes. Yeah, I feel sorry for these two, honestly, having to sit through 40 episodes of this. I just had to sit one.
Owls in Danger is such a horrible cautionary tale.
Well, it's a very fitting title.
Our minds are in danger. So, yeah, black hole. It's covered in lightning for some reason that, like, grabs Red Alert and Hotshot and drags them in.
If the Armada dub was actually good, it would have one of the kids say, oh man, this really sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why I said that.
Well, and while we're on this point, actually, like, one other thing I found very interesting going from, because I watched the Armada episode first, and then I watched Micron Legend, but it's funny how the addition of the Japanese honorifics, and I don't know that y'all have talked about this on the show before, but the way the characters refer to each other in Micron Legend, I feel like just immediately makes some of their character relationships a lot more clear. For instance, when Hotshot and Red Alert are getting dragged into the black hole in Micron Legend, Sideswipe yells out Aniki, he's like big brother. And that's just like, that's just not in Armada, but I feel like it's like, if you were like a random kid, like tuning into this first time, boom, you instantly understand Sideswipe and Hotshot's relationship and Sideswipe kind of looking up to Hotshot. It's like,
I mean, to be fair, the dub does most of the time translate Big Brother directly for Sideswipe.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that, it does it in this episode, but just pretty consistently otherwise.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, and then there's the Hotshot calling Red Alert, or I guess Hot Rod and Ratchet in Japan. He's calling him old timer. Which,
right.
That's definitely not the implication I get from Red Alert and Hotshot in Armada. Like, they don't seem like it's like a kid and an old guy thing. It's more like That guy who's just like who at work who's like just a couple years younger than you, so you're like,
it's more like slacker and serious guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that like again, I like
honestly, yeah, what this episode actually did like just remind me of is like, wow, Armada kind of does have like a bunch of guys who are characterized by being old. There's Red Alert and Smokescreen and Scavenger, and I feel like you only need one old-timer guy.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, this is the problem with Armada generally, just having too many characters that does not know what to do with. Like,
yeah.
They just sort of stand around most of the time.
Yeah, this definitely has, like, this episode definitely has, like, big, like, Star Trek bottle episode energy to it. It's like, okay, we're gonna just, like, isolate, like, two or three members of the crew, and then we'll occasionally check back in with the crew on the ship. It's like we're in that like Star Trek kind of zone of Armada with this stretch of episodes, I feel like.
No, absolutely. And I think that there's something really striking to me about the way it isolates these characters, because it is so mercenary. It's so like directly informed by these are the five guys who have Power Link's toys
coming out.
So oh, Red Alert runs after Carlos to save Carlos, and then Hotshot runs after Red Alert, and then Optimus Prime goes, no, Sideswipe, you can't go after them, you don't have a Power Link's toy coming out. It's like,
I literally have the exact same thing in my notes. No, Sideswipe, you don't have a new toy to be recolored into. It's
like, there's nothing, like, the wormhole just sort of appears, and it's, there's nothing to explain it or to precipitate it.
Yeah.
It's just suddenly there.
Yeah. Like, this is one of the episodes I knew about in advance, and, you know, I was quite excited for it. Like, in theory, it sounds like a cool and significant one. Like, oh, this is the one where they're, like, they get trapped in this pocket dimension, and they're menaced by this monstrous Optimus Prime, and as part of it, they get upgraded into new forms. Sounds like a big one.
Yeah.
But I wasn't prepared for just how arbitrary everything in it is.
Mm.
It all just kind of happens.
Like, the fact that this is coming off the back of Prime's resurrection, which is a huge plot point, you know, it's a big thing, and to have a character who is explicitly Prime's horrible, evil doppelganger, like, he's not a clone, he's, like, something, it's never really made clear anything, but, like, he doesn't have a character, and it doesn't feel like it's expressing anything about Optimus Prime's character, either, that, like, it feels like there could be something there, you know, in the fact that, like, Prime has been resurrected in this, you know, Christ-like way, and then here is his antithesis that, like, sort of just, I don't even know what the word is, he's just, like, haunting them, I guess, on this planet. And
the vibe I got off of him is, like, I do, in theory, dig the idea of Nemesis Prime as this, like, almost, like, I guess, like, Slenderman kind of, like,
He's a monster. He's like this snarling animal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, in isolation, I do really quite like that.
Yeah, in theory,
it's like, it's a little bit unnerving. Like, this guy who looks like the noble icon of justice, but he's just this mindless monster. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but
why does he look like Optimus?
Well, and that's one of the things that I felt like really could have used, like, a more proper, like, explanation. Like, I feel like the thing that muddies that is the fact that we see Nemesis Prime before the characters arrive, and I feel like it would have been a lot more effective if we didn't see that, like, shot of, like, Nemesis being, awakened. I guess the implication is that he's, like, formed from their minds, like, from the collective, like, minds of
I don't think so. It is.
Yeah, but that's like a huge leap.
We'll get to it.
I mean, I will totally say I'm reading into that because, like, the show doesn't give me anything else to work with.
I think it's the fact that, okay, so imagine if you, like, had Nemesis Prime as a character in a similar way. What if you had put this episode before Prime's resurrection? And then suddenly it's like, okay, that actually has a thematic purpose in the story. You're showing them dealing with Prime's absence, and now he's this thing that's, like, holding them back, and like, they're actually sort of fighting against him almost. It's like a ghost, almost, I guess. Or you could alternatively have it in this episode, so it's, like, Prime versus, like, his his dark mirror, and they, like, you know, do hand wrestling and et cetera, et cetera. And instead, like, Prime just shows up at the end of this one and shoots him with his new power up, and that's it. And it's like, well, you're going to do, like, an evil, like, mirror universe clone guy. You have to have the two guys actually duke it out, you know? Like, that's the whole point. That's the whole reason you do it, is to say something about the actual good version of that character. And I just don't think this episode says a single fucking thing about Optimus Prime.
I've been thinking about Sonic the Comic, the UK comic, and its version of Super Sonic recently, and I have just come to the conclusion for this reason that he's just a bit shit. Because in the UK comics, Super Sonic is Sonic's Incredible Hulk. He's the monster that bursts out when Sonic gets super angry or close to death or whatever. But, you know, I feel like a dark double of a heroic character has to either be a character in their own right or say something about the character that they're a double of.
Mm.
And in both that case and this case, they don't. They have nothing going for them other than, and, you know, I will admit, in both cases, they're quite cool.
Yeah.
It's cool when there's, like, a horrible monster guy that looks like the good guy. Mm. But it just doesn't give you anything to dig into.
Yeah, I feel like the ideal version of this episode, I feel like, is almost like that episode of Power Rangers Dino Thunder where Tommy has to fight his old suits. Like, I feel like this should have been Optimus Prime, like, in the All-Spark or the, you know, whatever you want to call it this time, having to fight Nemesis Prime in order to, like, get back to life.
You know?
Like, God. That would have been, like, the way to do...
Honestly, to do this,
like, kind of, and have him be like, okay, you gotta fight all the darkness inside you in order to prove that you're worthy of coming back to life. And instead it's just like, and then, I mean, we do kind of get maybe a reveal at the end, but it's honestly so vague, it's also so vague that it's like, I feel like I was reading into the implication.
One idea that occurs to me is that it would be, I mean, this requires, you know, the previous episode to be slightly different, but if say, the body hadn't completely disintegrated, if, say, there had been a corpse left behind, it could be that, you know, because Optimus Prime has been reborn, but he's been reborn sort of from nothing. The Minicons have just created a new body for him. And so you would then have the new Prime, and you would have Prime's old body, and then you could have Sideways, like, reanimate his corpse, and he would have to, like, you know, fight his own past, physical form.
There's just... The high concept pitch of this episode is cool, but there's so many different ways you could take it that would give it weight, and they just decided to not, because the script writers don't care.
They just don't care. It's true.
They just didn't care.
Yeah. But we're skipping ahead a little. So Hotshot and Red Alert wake up on this barren planet.
A salty planet.
Yep. Sick Last Jedi reference. In the Japanese, like, Hotshot does literally, like, scoop up some of the ground and, like, taste it, and he goes, it's salt.
Which I guess means that, you know, it is confirmed. Armada characters have taste buds.
And Red Alert says, like, oh, it seems we've been transported to another world, which is exactly as barren and devoid of life as Earth was.
See, normally the getting hit by a truck happens before you get transported to the other world.
God.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And Red Alert, like, tries to send a signal to the Autobot ship, and I guess, like, all of the Autobots are, like, just unconscious on the floor of the control room for some reason. Is that ever explained?
No. I think it's the gravity from the wormhole is, like, holding them down or something like that, but then 5 minutes later they seem to be fine, so it's like...
And how did they get back in there in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, hang on, I think they sort of ran back in. Oh, yeah, no, because, that's what you're saying, like...
Yeah, but, like, they ran back in and then...
And then the gravity became too much because they got closer to... I don't... And they do this plot point of, like, Red Alert activates a beacon, and the Autobots can't follow, but the Decepticons can, for some reason. So Megatron, Starscream, and Demolisher deploy onto the planet. Frist has basically sent them there, and Starscream is basically grumbling that it's, oh, well, it's, you know, this is just what Frist wants. It's like, yeah, man, it's just what, like, Frist is just, like doing his job to help you get rid of the Decepticons and the Autobots. I don't understand what Frist is planning at this point, what anything Frist does matters in any way.
I don't understand what Starscream's problem is, because, like, he has so many opportunities to kill Megatron in this episode, which we've been told over and again is his sole reason for being with the Decepticons.
Yeah. Just stab him in the back. It's okay. It's allowed.
Yeah.
He's right there, guys.
What is he, stupid?
I did note that Tidal Wave's wings are, like, particularly exaggerated here. Like, they're just massive and sticking off his body.
Yeah, you just have to make it look cool as the thing. You just have to do it. You have to lie.
I mean, failed step one. He does not look cool, but...
The whole thing with Tidal Wave recently has just been driving me crazy, because Megatron is now at a point where, like, his default form is being combined with Tidal Wave, and so what happens in this episode is that when Megatron wants to give chase to the Autobots, there's, like, a scene transition, and the next time we see him, he's in vehicle mode, and then when he transforms back into robot mode, we go through the entire, like, stock footage combination with Tidal Wave, who just appears out of nowhere, just so he can be back in this form
for
the rest of the episode.
Can't he fly when he's combined with Tidal Wave? Wouldn't it be more efficient to, like, chase them while flying instead
know.
Of as
I
a tank?
Joe.
Yeah?
They just don't care. They just do not care at all.
But at the end, when they all get their Power Links form, shouldn't Tidal Wave also have the Power Links form because he's there in the... He's right there.
Lads.
What?
No caring. No caring is happening at all.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. Like, I think this is honestly my least favourite episode of Armada in a good while, because...
Yeah, I can see that.
Just, it's got a compelling pitch that is just completely squandered because they don't care. And, like, other episodes haven't been great, but there's been enough meat to dig into that I found them compelling.
There's been moments of emotion, and they've developed the plot, whereas this one, the ultimate, like, thing is that they're in new colours now, and it's clearly not going to matter at all.
Yes.
So...
The message of this episode is, buy Nemesis Prime, buy Thundercracker, buy Powerlink's Hotshot.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And by Galvatron, who... Because it's like every other time there's ever a Galvatron in other Transformers media. The movie... Cybertron, like Age of Extinction, it is a big deal. It's like, this is like a new thing. And here it's just like Megatron, like, he's purple and white now, so he's just arbitrarily gonna call himself by a new name.
To be fair, that's kind of consistent with the previous Galvatron, which...
Yeah, like our idea, right? Similar vibes.
But at least that came with the change of he started getting off his ass once he became Devil Gigatron / Galvatron.
Didn't he get like a whole focus thing at the very least, like when he revived? I keep in mind it's been years since
I haven't seen it in years, so I don't really remember exactly. I say that I watched the whole thing with people on Discord, like, I want to say a couple of years ago or something. Unfortunately, I still remember very little of it. Did not leave a huge impression on me,
but still, it's just like it's so inexplicable in Armada, like, which, granted, it's not even a thing in Micron Legend. It's just Armada that he's just is like, you know, has to just instantly, like, squeeze in, I'm actually Galvatron now, thrust.
Yeah. That almost feels like it's, like, trying to sell that it matters more than Micron Legend is bothering to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess that, like, sort of ties into the Aaron Archer grand scheme thing, because, like, I would imagine that Archer imagined Megatron becoming Galvatron to be, like, this big significant moment.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it ain't, because the writers don't care, and you could almost read, like, the, oh yeah, I'm Galvatron now, I have even more power from the Armada episode, as, like, the dub writers, like, trying to sort of pull it back towards mattering.
Honestly, it didn't even feel like it.
I don't know.
They were trying to make it matter. It more just felt like, hey, we've got to work in this trademark change.
He just says, "Oh, I'm Galvatron. Call me Galvatron. My name's Galvatron now." And that's the extent of the dialogue changes. Like, he's not ever, like, particularly like, "Yeah, I'm more powerful," or anything like this. It's, yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. Even just saying that they're like doing something to show that they are more powerful now would feed into the theme of, like, escalation that like you could, I think, apply to a lot of Armada. Yeah. If you have to apply any theme, you know, it's, oh, that they get more power ups and the war just escalates endlessly, and
skipping back once again, as they're, like, exploring this world and the Decepticons have landed elsewhere on it, Hotshot and Red Alert basically just see Nemesis Prime and go, oh, Optimus, is that you? And then he just starts going,
I admit I did like that bit.
Like I said, in isolation, I think it's like a cool idea to have this mirror of Optimus who is just this slavering animal.
Well, and this is another area where I think that Armada, just on a baseline level, is just kind of lesser, because it's like, with that, they actually give him, like, dialogue where he's like, I am Nemesis Prime, and all that, versus in Micron Legend, he's, like, just grunts and, like, growls, which I feel like sells the more monster, concept way better.
Of course, it would be good if there was just actual writing going on where he mattered as a character and could say things that were meaningful in any way. That would be great too. But I guess I'll take the grunts and the groans over just saying his name.
I'm just saying that as like selling him as a monster. It works better than like just absolutely. Lines that Armada gave him.
So he starts chasing them, and they have to run away in vehicle mode.
Scooby-Doo chase sequence ensues, basically.
Something that, like, pissed me off more than it should, considering that I know how Armada works. Hotshot, like, says to Red Alert, oh, what should we do? And it's like, you couldn't even have him retain even a little of his leadership qualities in the episode after Optimus comes back?
Yeah.
Like, come on, I know that Hotshot becoming the leader didn't matter, but you didn't have to rub it in.
I completely forgot that was a plot when I was actually watching it. Like I knew it, but at the same time, it's like, I didn't think about it at all, because
blame you, because it's just, it's not a thing in this episode.
Yeah, I'd more or less forgot, actually, watching it.
Oh, Lord.
I like when they transform, and they do their stock footage transformations, and then they've correctly, like, recolored the sky to make it, like, this green alien sky, but then the ground is still just the same, like, generic Earth desert landscape that they've been going to since the early episodes. Sure. Okay. Close enough.
Megatron is watching them through binoculars. and he's like, oh, well, even if it is Optimus, I don't care, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And, like, I think that's about the only element of, like, themes you could, like, pin in this episode. Because, like, the opening does, like, have Megatron, like, cackling with glee. Oh, Optimus is back, so we can fight again.
Right.
So, like, there is, like, sort of the element of Megatron having this sort of obsession with Optimus. Which later we get to see in the form of him saying, why would we take them prisoner? Oh, I guess it would fuck with Optimus if we saw them being tortured. But it doesn't make anything of that.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just getting more mad. I'm just like...
The Optimus so fixation is a through line, but it's not a theme.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess there's that little moment where Starscream suggests taking them prisoner after Hotshot shoots him out. But it's like, it's so, like, almost tacked on. You know, it's like, oh, right, hey, maybe we can squeeze in something about Hotshot and Starscream's relationship, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I did appreciate, like, the element of Starscream still cares about the Autobots because they were briefly his friends, and he doesn't want them to die, so he, like, thinks quickly enough to come up with... But that is, like, it's a very stock element, and it does feel like it was just sort of, like, thrown in here to remind us that that's Starscream's thing. The Decepticons try to help Nemesis against the Autobots, and Nemesis just turns around and goes, and grapples them instead.
Yeah, his arm, like, stretches out horribly, and he, like, lifts Megatron into the air by his neck. Quite scary.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I think is one of the reasons that this episode is stuck in my head, because it's like, again, conceptually, on paper, having this guy who, like, oh, he seems like another Transformer, but he's not. He's actually this, like, weird, you know, Lovecraftian monster that's taking the shape. Almost, ironically, actually reminds me of the recent Doctor Who special in some ways.
But we already had that, because that's Sideways.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think that's what makes Sideways in like an interesting visual and stuff is the fact that if you take the idea of, okay, these are robots specifically, then the sort of specific horror that comes from this is like a machine and it's moving like a sort of underwater creature, I guess, or whatever it is. Like, I think there is something unique to that. Obviously, if a guy like stretches out his arm really long and strangles you, that's pretty scary regardless of whether he's made of metal or not. But like,
yeah. Megatron blows Nemesis Prime up with the Requiem Blaster and knocks the Autobots down. Megatron wants to kill them. Starscream says, no, let's take them captive. Megatron says, yeah, I guess it would fuck with Optimus if we did.
I do like in the dub, there's one moment where Starscream suggests this to him and Megatron's like, yes, you're right. But they could prove you more trouble than they're worth. And he's really about to do it for a second, and then like he sort of changes his mind. I think I don't think it necessarily is explicitly about Optimus in the dub. I think that's left a bit more implicit, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely much more explicit in Micron Legend, where it's like, yeah.
Nemesis is like bits that are on the ground start twitching. There's a fun bit where like Demolisher has picked up a transistor or something and is examining it, and then it, like, the cables attached to it, like, start twitching like tentacles, and he's like, ah!
Yeah, this is really good.
Yeah. Very, very thing. John Carpenter's thing.
Mm.
Yeah. And he just mulches back together. And honestly, the coolest visual of the episode. Yeah, absolutely. Just Nemesis' fucked up, broken, trailing wires face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's that's such a, like, a, again, great image to stick in a five-year-old's head.
It's, you can really tell how this is the one that would be memorable, even though it's not good.
Has shades of, like, what's it, that one episode, I forget what it's called, the one where Prime comes back in the G1 cartoon season 3, and he's, like, a horrible, horrible corpse, and his face is all that sort of visual of, like, I guess how to put it, like, Prime's face is such a iconic, clean look of something. Yeah. And so when you fuck with it in any way, it's like, oh god, that's horrible. It's like, what? That's what's underneath his mouth plate? Like,
reminds me of the episode where he died and, like, you saw the, like, parts of his face shattering before he...
Yeah, exactly.
...exploded into bits. It's a pity that, like, Nemesis has the opposite eye busted in this one to the one that Prime had, because it would be cool if that was, like, an intentional visual parallel. But they didn't care.
No, of course not.
I'm pretty sure that in Japanese, when Nemesis reforms, Demolisher says, oh no, in English. Which is very funny.
So yeah, he just goes ape shit. He like rips off Megatron's cannon. Like, I guess like a big sword, right? Like
it manifests a dark version of the Star Saber.
It's specifically the Star Saber.
Black energy.
So it is the dark, like, Star Saber toy, I guess. Like the...
I think that's what it's meant to present, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And he cuts off Demolisher's cannons and Starscream's wing. It's honestly, I think, the exact same injuries as, like, Hotshot did when he had the Star Saber in a previous episode or something, right? We're tired that he just fucking stabs them, right? Like,
yeah. And then he jumps in the air to attack the Autobots, and we get, like, multiple cuts between, like, this green beam of light coming down through the atmosphere and Nemesis, like, inching closer through the air.
Mm.
And then eventually it hits him and he just gets ploughed into the ground. And now there's a bunch of mini-hons, I guess. Okay?
Sure.
Yeah, coming down in the little balls of refreshing mint flavour.
They're mostly obscured, but it does seem like they're meant to be...
It's the five partner minicons, I think. You can see definitely make out Swindle, Longarm, and Jolt. So the other two have to
It's definitely Leader One who, like, gets the, like, close up shot, right?
No, that's Longarm. That's Longarm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Leader One's to the right of Longarm,
because it then cuts to Red Alert going, what?
Okay. Well, this was actually one of the things I took down in my notes. It was interesting that. Because in Micron Legend, they just appear and then, you know, shoot their glowy energy around them. Versus they actually get a line in English in Armada.
Oh, okay.
They get like a this, you know, this fighting must end. And it's like not the voice I was expecting at all to come out of any of those Minicons.
I mean, it's been the same with Hiawaya, like when he's been talking previous ones, really weird voice that they picked.
Yeah, so it's like I don't know. I kind of feel like them just being silent and mysterious kind of worked a little better, but maybe that was just me.
I mean, it's like this fighting must end. Have these new color schemes and proceed to go about your lives. Like, what?
Yeah. But, like, almost I do appreciate the attempt to explain it a little bit, because it is just... Because without that, it is just nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that happens.
I mean, I will say this. I feel like with this, that's part of the framing in Micron Legend, is that it's supposed to be like, the characters do not understand what's going on, so we just have this, like, visual to see, and we have to interpret ourselves, and obviously, later on in the show...
Yeah, but it's not a mystery if it doesn't have an answer. Why did they do this? Nobody knows, because there isn't a reason, because they don't care. It makes me angry.
Understandable.
Is Armada the Lost of Transformers? Could be.
God...
No, it's. I was gonna say.
I was gonna say Armada's the Twin Peaks of Transformers. Oh, that would be a
insult to David. Don't insult him that way. Oh my god, Armada is a lot more concise than Lost ever was. Speaking of, so something weird that I noticed, because I don't know how y'all watched these episodes, but I watched Armada on Tubi, where for some reason it's broken up into four seasons. And this is like the third episode of season four in that list.
Why would you do this? I guess it's like the unicorn battles.
Yeah.
So I guess they've like divided it into the four quarters, but
yeah, no, it's a real weird choice.
They've drawn and quartered our bot.
I just thought it was funny when I was like flipping through, because I thought I'd have to like really scroll, and it's like, oh nope, weird.
Yeah, they get recolored. This is the famous "I look like Thundercracker" bit in Armada, I gather.
Yeah, he says, "It looked like Thundercracker" is the exact line. I think it feels like it's cut from a longer take of some kind. I don't know.
It absolutely is. It's so clearly like they like had a longer line that they had to like really dice up to match the lip flaps.
He doesn't say "I look like." He says "it looked like." I don't know why you would.
Well, it's like, see, to me, I couldn't tell either way. It was more like, "Ugh, look like Thundercracker."
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gotta say, of all the different color schemes, I really dig Red Alerts.
Red Alerts, it's good. Like, yeah,
the orange is a really, I don't know why, but I also love was it like a G2 color scheme that Funpub came up with for that one BotCon customization class Ratchet?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just like I am digging orange on ambulances. Yeah, orange and white ambulances are just we need more of these in Transformers.
I like it on a movie evac, the blackout.
Yes,
movie.
Yeah.
Yes, that's.
I mean, it's just the Mars mission color scheme. That's what it is. Like,
but yeah, in Japanese, Starscream just says, "Oh, I'm repaired." Yeah, you sure are. Buddy, it doesn't matter. None of this matters.
I will heal your wounds so you know that fighting has no consequences. You can fight forever. It doesn't matter. You can just come back.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then that's when...
The Axelon shows up. Daniel, do you want to share your thoughts on the Autobot spaceship?
Oh, yeah. You mean like how it looks like a freaking dildo?
What?
I am sorry, that is all I saw when that ship showed up.
I am shocked, Daniel. I am shocked.
Like,
tolerate that sort of language on this show.
I'm just saying.
Acubags, get out.
Okay, all right, you know, like, I'm just saying, it looks like a couple things I got in my bottom drawer, you know, like. I calls it like I sees it. Like, I guess I know how they're going to defeat Unicron.
Oh my god!
Is this the fabled Nexus Maximus?
Yeah.
The ship shows up. In Japanese, we get a quick bit of, like, Optimus going, "Is Ultra Magnus ready?" And Toys going, "Yeah."
Which is different from the Armada line, where he just mentions, like, "I'll take Overload." And it's like, at least... See, and I will break the bit a little bit to at least point out that, like, the implication there in Micron Legend, again, maybe I'm just reading into this too much, but it's like, oh, right, like, is Ultra Magnus ready? Like, he's... So it's like a drone that they've been, like, building.
Something that they've been working on, yeah.
Exactly. Versus, like, you know...
How Optimus would know this, given that he's been dead?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he literally just got back, and he's...
Very good point.
Well, he's... Well, maybe they were building him before Prime died, and he's like, oh, you know that Overload thing? From... Did you guys finish that while I was dead, or what? Like...
Versus, like, yeah, I'll take Overload. And, it's just soars down in truck mode. And it's like, doesn't even get, like, a cool moment to drive out of the Axelon. We just see him falling.
It's, yeah, it's like a bit from Revenge of the Fallen, but just really stupid.
Exactly.
It's the way that he, like, does the stock transformation sequence to, like, land properly in robot mode or whatever, and then, like, the two trailers just sort of, like, just a flat on the ground, like, having landed behind him, I guess. I don't know, it just really cracks me up for some reason.
Well, I love how Optimus, like, he gets down there and immediately he, like, already knows what's going on. Like, maybe this is the thing, maybe he didn't know that, like, about Overload. Maybe ever since he's come back, he's just got psychic powers. Because, like, as soon as he lands on the planet, Megatron's like, oh, well, I'm ready to square off. And Optimus is like, wait, he's coming. And it, like, it's like, who? You don't know what's been going on. How the fuck do you know about giant Nemesis Prime that's about to show up?
Like, well, it's because of his psychic connection to his dark alter ego, I guess, that is, it's linked to him through metaphysical means.
See, this I feel like that's reading in even way more than what I was reading in.
At least it will be something, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, giant Nemesis Prime bursts out of the ground and goes, blah! And then Optimus just shoots him with his new stock footage by combining with Overload.
We have to give a shout out to Overload's transformation sequence where he sort of splits apart and then his, like, visible robot mode hands. Like, we've never seen Overload in robot mode, but he has hands. Whatever Overload is, he's something that has hands. This is what we understand about him, because he grabs onto the two like, cannon attachment things and forms the combined over-shoulder attachment. It's a really cool transformation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoulder cannons are just, like, one of those, like, just inherently cool, like, design bits, you know? Like, if you want to give someone some cool weapons, throw cannons over their shoulders. Like, it's just, boom.
Yeah.
Instantly great.
It's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the fact that, like, why can Nemesis Prime suddenly get really big? Why is it that, like, you would have Prime in super mode facing off against a giant version of his inner robot? What does that... It's visually, it's just not... I don't know. For me, it doesn't...
Yeah. But you're missing that Optimus and Megatron have to work together to destroy it. I don't know why. I don't know why Optimus knows this, but they do. And
maybe this is just something that happens when you come back to life. You just know things, yeah. You know?
Mm.
I'm kind of rushing through the, like, actual details here. Partially because we're at an hour.
Oh,
and partially because, like, I just don't respect this writing enough to give it
more than absolutely.
Level
run through.
Yeah, no, they work together, they blow up Nemesis Prime, we see the, like, sideways
the ghost of Sideways. Yeah. And, like, that's been foreshadowed, because the Nemesis Prime, when he reformed, has, like, the same static effect.
Yeah.
I don't know whether this is implying that Nemesis was Sideways, or was just controlled by Sideways.
Well, per the, you know, dub title, he's a puppet, right? Or maybe Sideways is the puppet. Ooh.
Dun dun da.
Yeah,
I feel like we can, like, theory craft over this for, like, forever, but we won't, because there's nothing to theory craft about. It is Sideways in some way, and that is it. Like,
this episode is a Rorschach test, where it's like, we can project so much, like, of what we want to see, like, or what we would like for the meaning behind this to be, but there's no real meaning behind it at all. Like, we're just grasping at straws to make this make sense for us.
No, I think that's exactly right.
Planet starts to collapse now that Big Boy's dead.
Yeah, for some reason. I guess the planet is also part of, like, Sideways, yeah. Sure. Why was it made of salt? Why was it made of salt and metal? What was that about? It doesn't matter. Forget about it.
Maybe Sideways is made of salt?
I was going to say Sideways is salty for dying.
God.
Like, maybe the whole black hole was Sideways. Or maybe it's Unicron. I mean, who's to say at this stage?
Optimus has plunged into Sideways' hole.
No.
So, I guess...
Optimus has plunged his dildo-shaped spaceship into Sideways' hole.
Yep.
I'm really upset.
I'm sorry.
Too bad.
As they're evacuating, Megatron / Galvatron just shoots the Autobot's ship with the Requiem Blaster.
Yeah.
Just as a fuck you.
Just to fuck him up. Like, I guess it's a fairly high stakes ending, kind of. The ship is crashing on a collapsing planet, and the Decepticons have teleported away to fly back to Cybertron. Oh no. That's the end of the episode.
Well, I just struggle to care because none of this matters.
No.
Yeah. And it just ends so quickly, too. It's just like, okay, well, off to Cybertron.
What's the betting the next episode we just open back on the Autobot ship and they were just flying, like, still after the Decepticons?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, I don't think that will happen, but I would not be surprised. Like,
yeah. This episode's so frustrating. I almost want to say there's a lot to like about it, because I don't have any complaints with the animation. It's all pretty good.
Yeah.
And... The visuals and imagery and stuff.
Honestly, cool. I want to give a shout out to the incidental music that Micron Legend used, which is just like, again,
another
example of...
It manages to like sustain a sense of like creepiness.
Exactly. And that, which again, it's like the concept, the pitch for this episode is such a great idea, but it's just the execution doesn't really do any of the interesting stuff you could do with it. And
it feels like they were told they have to do an episode where they fight Nemesis Prime and get the color upgrades, and they were like, okay, what's like the bare minimum of how we do that?
Yeah,
I will say, and that sucks. it does give me one bit of anticipation for the future, because I'm like, oh, what cynical plot device are they going to use to give Prime his power and his color scheme? Because I thought it'd be last episode when he comes back to life, but it wasn't. And I thought it'd be this episode when they're all getting them, and it's not. Right? So what's it going to be? How is he going to get his shiny Nemesis Prime-esque color scheme?
That makes it feel much more like this should have come before Optimus was resurrected, because...
Then he could be resurrected into the Power Link's color scheme.
Into the Power Link's colors, and it wouldn't be...
It could be
misaligned.
It'd be very like Beast Wars, where they all, you know, they get transmetallized kind of thing. It's only the characters who are outside get transmetallized, because they're the ones who get new toys. And then Prime comes back, having been resurrected into a new transmetal form. That makes kind of sense, right?
And it would even make sense, because the Minicons bestow the Power Links upgrades on these characters. So if they're the ones that are bringing Optimus back to life, it would make sense that they also bring him back with his Power Links upgrade. Where were we when Armada was being written? Because we would have fixed all this.
I think we were like
babies.
Two.
I was 5 years old.
Yeah. Well, they still should have hired us. I feel like we still probably would have done a pretty good job knowing us. Be like X-Cop, you know? And then Megatron shoots Optimus Prime with his stomach gun, and then Optimus Prime dodges it and does a kickflip and kickflips him into the sun.
Genuinely, I think you could write a Transformers show using the X-Cop method, and you would end up with something better than many Transformers shows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Okay, well, I think we've hit all the points.
Really disappointing episode, considering how I've generally been enjoying the recent ones. And how this was like one that I knew was coming up and that I was looking forward to.
And see, for me, as like being that this was like me checking back in on, you know, something that I had not interacted with since childhood, it was like, huh. Well, yeah, no, that makes sense. Not nearly as good as I remember, but, you know, like, I don't know, I guess because I'm so used to that with everything I revisit from childhood. It's just that checks out.
But I mean, yeah, we can definitely see why it would have left such an impression. I think to a kid, this episode must read entirely differently.
Yeah. And that's at the core of why this one's so annoying, right? Because it has like a really powerful visual and high concept pitch, and it's one that you want to be memorable.
Mm.
And it is memorable. It's just not good because they didn't care.
Yeah.
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 So, Daniel, where can people find you online?
So, mostly on Twitter at Daniel Adkins PRD. You can find my just ramblings there. If we were recording this later, I might have more projects to talk about, but unfortunately, I don't really at this moment. It's just, like I said, just stick on my Twitter feed, and I might have some projects coming up, but you will just have to wait and see, particularly if you like podcasts that occasionally feature Transformers and or space travel. You might want to stick around, because I might be doing a little something-something with another friend of the show, but I will not say until...
Is it perhaps familiar to those who've followed your work in the past?
Perhaps it is, and that's all I will say until an official announcement happens, because...
Here's the secret, and please edit this out, Joe. We have to actually finalize that we are doing it and all that, so I don't want to say anything if it's not... It's not going to happen.
I'll edit this entire bit out if you're not actually doing it.
Just follow me on Twitter. And of course, you, as I said at the top of the show, you can see my articles on TF Wiki every Wednesday when there is a new comic in the Energon universe. Hopefully, I'll be getting better at getting those out like before midday Wednesdays. But
yeah,
you know, that's brilliant. That's what happens with homework. Sometimes you just gotta, you gotta... squeeze in on the day it's actually due.
That's me with editing this podcast.
I do not blame you.
Rads, what about you? Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at TheWadapan, and you can find all my writing and stuff at wadapan.wordpress.com. And what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at SJ_Broadside, on Blue Sky at SJBroadside, and if you want to find my art and design work, I've got a link to my Redbubble account in my pinned tweet.
Buy her shirts. They're very good. Very comfy. I have three myself. No, four. Yes, four.
Hell yeah.
You can find the podcast at ourworldspod.podbean.com, at ourworldspod on Twitter, and on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts.
All three of us help Vector Prime, the legendary guardian of space and time from Transformers Cybertron, to manage his Tumblr blog. If you want to ask him a question, then send him an ask at askvectorprime.tumblr.com. And he might respond from beyond the realm of canon.
Honestly, I don't know what they're talking about with helping. I mostly just help Vector Prime whenever he has to answer questions about G.I. Joe.
You can also just find the three of us hanging out in the TF Wiki Discord server, which you find by going to tfwiki.net and clicking the Discord icon on the front page.
Our podcast art is by Claudia, who's at Actual Skullgrin on Twitter.
And our theme song is Transformer Dream Again, English version, by Psychic Lover from their 2018 album Crush and Build.
And don't forget to tune in next time, because something cool might happen, but probably not.
Hey. I'm Jolene.
And I'm Wads.
And I'm Daniel.
And we'd like to tell you about
Transformers.
Okay, let's hope we can make that sound good.
Do we need to redo the end?
No, it's fine. Okay. It's fine.
It's actually better if we don't.
Alrighty, awesome.